radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, broadcasting live from Rose Hill Beer Garden. We're outside slash inside. We're inside the bar. But the barn doors are open.
The barn doors are open, and the cross breeze is glorious.
It is a beautiful, this is the best time of year in Houston, Texas.
It truly is.
It really is. It's the absolute best. This place is beautiful. We're going to start drinking some beers at some point.
Yes.
Less than yesterday for me.
I heard. You're hurting.
Yeah, I'm hurting today. This is my first show I've done with you where I'm on the... I might be on the injured list.
Oh, I like it.
But we're feeling good. We're feeling good. We're out here.
You got some hair on your chest.
I have too much hair on my chest. That's the problem.
Oh, okay.
But we're out here till 6 o'clock, us and then the Killer Bees broadcasting live. Eddie Jackson, former NFL player, Food Network star.
Oh, yeah.
Owner of this place.
I didn't know that.
And he has his burger food truck right over here. There's 8 local food trucks, and his burger truck is one of them.
Well, way back in the day when I was doing a show, TV show, over at Cube 57, we had Eddie on, and I was disappointed that he didn't bring any snickety snacks.
Yeah, I feel like if Eddie Jackson's coming in, you're hoping some food comes.
Oh, please. I mean, listen.
I mean, it's the first thing Brian McDonald said when he got here was, I can't wait to try his burger.
Yeah. Oh, God. Now I'm starving. All right. Well, I'm going to be distracted, and you're going to be hungover. This is going to make for a great Friday radio
But the nice
show.
Thing is that I feel like Eddie Jackson's burger is going to make me feel way less hungover. So
definitely.
I look forward to having one of those.
Do you have a go-to trick when you're hungover that you go for?
I like the fried egg on a burger. I feel like that is most white places just call them a hangover burger. Like, like sourdough toast or white toast with the burger, fried egg, some bacon.
Okay.
Usually the go-to. It is a great hangover cure.
I'm more of a hair of the dog guy, specifically the Bloody Mary. You know, you can make a Rodeo Mary out of a bottle of Pendleton and
you can.
A Bloody Mary mix if you really want.
You know who's got a hangover today?
Who?
The Astros.
Oh, nice.
What an opening day it was. You can't say that all the concerns and things we talked about since the show started, they all showed up in one game.
Legitimately.
Every single thing.
What do you want to start with?
I
think Fromber was the biggest concern. Yeah, Fromber, man, the control issues, you want to say it's just the first start of the year, but we've seen him have this in the last calendar year. And that fourth inning, I mean, especially with the way the game started, where you look at the Astros lineup and you're like, damn, this actually might be the best lineup in baseball. Even Jake Myers is hitting a home run.
And just staring at it.
But Fromber, I mean, you're hitting guys with the bases loaded. I mean, I guess we can say, hey, at least he didn't do it intentionally like he did against, you know, Seattle and Texas last year. But
I mean, a career high in walks for Fromber. And he was getting squeezed. A little bit, but that's part of baseball. It's not an excuse. I'm not here for that because it's just the way baseball works. We all know it. We all know that until robo-umps get into the game that there is going to be moments where pitchers are getting squeezed. And he had a lot of pitches in yesterday's game where he looked pretty good. They were pretty good, and he just was not getting the calls in the way he needed. But multiple bases loaded. Yes, he was getting the double plays, and that was positive. He didn't unravel in the way that Fromber does of the past.
In that he didn't, you know, throw at somebody intentionally because he was having an off game.
Or give up 10 runs.
But he walked 6 guys.
And it was too much.
And if you can't get through 5-plus innings with your starters, you're exposing yourself to the reality of your bullpen right now. Your middle relief, Seth Martinez coming in, that's not the first person I want to see. Rafael Montero, that's the last person I ever want to see. Another episode of the Rafael Montero show.
Yeah.
It's exactly as you expect it every single time, giving up the home run right away. And then Ryan Presley's coming in the 6th inning, and that's not the kind of Ryan Presley I'm hoping to see this year. That's for damn sure.
No, so that's like that leads us right to the next issue of everything that's going on. It's you go right to Montero. You go right to Presley, and Presley comes in in the 7th inning for, I think they say it was the first time in his career since 2000, or it's been like 3 or 4 years since he came in before the 8th inning even. So you compounded one issue with Fromber right into your bullpen issues. right away.
Yeah.
It just and that's what the story of this team can be. And it's like I don't think we're Panic Man doesn't need to be here for game one. But
he thought about making an appearance, but
I thought Panic Man might show up today.
I feel like today you look at game one and ultimately, despite all of those issues, I mean, they still had 13 hits, and if there's more cameras at Minute Maid Park, we might be talking about a game that went to extra innings.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what happens there, especially if Josh Hader got another inning. Holy crap. Hader was the best performer yesterday, followed afterwards by Jake Myers. So I don't want to panic too much, but the Fromber stuff, it's concerning because it just feels like it's more of the same with him, and you're just hoping that he bounces back in the next start. But I'm trying to think of what can I blame from Fromber. What can I blame this on? Is it Yiner Diaz? Is it just that the Astros are at home? Like, I'm trying to figure it out because that's where they struggle at the plate.
I mean, it's his first start of the year, so what you're hoping is that that's what it is. It's the first start. But, you know, you talked so much about one of your things with Yiner replacing Maldi is pitch framing. It's something that they've talked about that he's working on and getting better at. But if you're getting squeezed and he's not an elite pitch framer, you don't know how much that factors in to some of the game yesterday. And so none of it's the sky is falling concerns, but it's just not how you want the first game of the season to go, to see all the concerns that you have this entire offseason to just show up in the first game. And yes, the lineup was good at times, and I mean, that Jake Myers home run was incredible. Yiner Diaz was awesome yesterday. But
Jeremy Peña had a good day, too.
Jeremy Peña had a very good day.
Bottom of the order looked great.
If that's the bottom of the order you get, at times this lineup's just gonna mash people.
They had 13 hits, but you got to get the runs across the plate, and the pitchers got to get through five. Like these are just two bare minimum things that you need to check the box of the majority of games that you play this year. You do that, you're going to be in good shape. You're going to have 90 plus wins. You're probably going to win the AL West. But hey, this was a game where just a lot of the things that we have been concerned about for the last month plus, as we get closer and closer to opening day, they're all on full display. And that sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, you move on to the next game. There's obviously 161 left, but oy vey.
Yeah, oy vey is a great way to put it. And look, and sometimes it's impossible to get a read on sarcasm versus reality through the text line here, 713-780-3776, but 3780. Can we get Dusty back? Who knows? Who knows if that's real or sarcasm?
It might be sarcasm, but I told a lot of you guys last year, the idea that a different manager is going to make things 100% better, when in reality it's about what the players and pitchers do on a night-to-night basis, is crazy to me. And it was very funny to see Chandler Rome's immediate link to the article that he wrote about this first game of the season,
yes,
where it highlights Joe Espada. The next time that he posted a tweet about it, like the first one, made Espada not look so good. Second one, it says, well, Espada probably made the right moves, they just didn't work out for him. But people are going to criticize Espada, I think, this year, just as much as they did with Dusty Baker, thinking that Dusty was the guy holding them back last year. And Dusty did not hold them back last year. He did some things that a lot of, I guess, baseball minds in 2024
that they don't like. The nerds don't like
it. It's some old school stuff. But, okay, Jake Myers is supposed to be part of your lineup. He gets a home run, and you decide to pull him for a specific at-bat by putting in John Singleton. Not Mauricio Dubon.
Yeah.
John Singleton. And there were moments in last year's postseason where I thought it actually was the correct decision to put in Singleton. Singleton, for his many faults as a hitter, has a great eye. Generally, he knows when a ball is a strike, when a ball is a ball. We saw that in the ALCS against the Rangers. They brought him back in, and he just lost a 9-10 pitch at-bat in the last big situation that he was pinch hit into. But at the same time, is that the first guy that you want to pinch hit for Jake Myers in a clutch situation? No, I'd rather go with Mauricio Dubon there first.
I mean, but before that, do you need to? Do you need to? A guy that just who had a great spring training, who hit an absolute tank.
Good question.
Do you need to take him out? And that's where
it's bizarre. It's
hard.
It's made worse by him hitting the home run.
Sure.
And made worse by having alternative options. If it was later in the game and there was nobody else to throw in there and you really didn't feel good about that Myers for Jake Myers, fine. But,
yeah. 8693, Frommer lives in his own head, rent-free, pitches scared. I don't necessarily agree with that. I see where you're coming from.
And Fuentes Respector piggybacks off that on the Twitch. He should grow a pair and quit being a mental little person.
I mean, look, this might be a dumb thing, but I won't lie. We had a conversation right as the Killer Bees were getting started as you left before you got rejected at Minute Maid.
Oh, I didn't think we were going to bring that up.
That's all I was going to bring up. I was going to make a little...
I don't want to make a thing of it. They might have some new policy in place, but yeah.
I was just going to make a little subtle shot at
it. I drove all the way from the decoy to Minute Maid Park. I got there at 3:45. A security person, when I got to where the pick-up your credential gate normally is, told me to go back into this one room. I went into this one room. They said, no, you got to go to this other room. I walked back. I went back to the other room, showed them my ID. They said, no, you got to go back here. And then I came back in, and then eventually, after 20 minutes, they said, oh, you got here too late. And I was like, well, I got here at 3:45, and the last time that I got here late during a game when my car got assaulted in the Minute Maid parking lot and no one actually did anything about it, when that happened, there was a hit and run that happened there because of how bad your parking lot people were because they were understaffed and the parking lot was overbooked. When that happened, I still got into the game in the third inning because guess who? Framber Valdez was crapping his pants on the mound again. So, I don't know. You picked a bad day to, not let me in because I definitely feel some type of way about it. But
You picked a great day because
I went to Highway Canteen instead, and it was way better.
Marks for 975.
I got my 975. Hell yeah, dude! I got my Texas size margarita. So yeah, I watched.
I saw
game
your
there.
Photo on Instagram, and I was very jealous.
The margarita made it all better.
I should have gone with Paul.
But the worst part was leaving, and I'm shocked by the amount of people that are Yankee fans in Houston because I could tell these are Houston-based Yankee fans. I could tell.
There is a large contingent of Yankees fans in Houston, and I don't know if this is – I know it's a kind of a transplant city. It's not – there's quite a few, but there's a lot of Yankees fans more than others.
I don't understand how you would be a Yankee fan living here.
I don't –
publicly.
Yeah, how do you – because of all the hate between – I mean, all those highlights we played yesterday – the hatred that there is between the fans of both teams. The teams don't really like each other.
And also, I mean, you're Houston's bitch. you're the easiest sports thing to make fun of in this city. So, hey, they got their win. Hang a banner.
What I was saying was I did enjoy that he didn't have the blue jerseys on to start the game. So I was like, okay, maybe.
Yeah, they wore the white jerseys this time.
Like, maybe they've broken through to Fromber. No. That was like my first reaction.
No,
to the
you
game
know what's happening.
Before it started, it was like, okay, like maybe they got through to him. The sports psychologist is working.
They're going
to
be going back to those navy blue Absolutely. Spring training jerseys or the Space City jerseys ASAP.
Yeah, they will 100% be in his blue jerseys his next start. So there's obviously so much to get to from yesterday's game.
Is that why Fromber was in his head? There were too many Yankee fans at Minute Maid Park.
Maybe. I don't know. It looks like it's just...
Wasn't that bad? I mean, I didn't get in, so honestly, I don't know, but because I got rejected at the door. But
I did see on TV there was a Yankees Astros fan walking around the ballpark.
I saw that. Yeah, we saw that at the decoy yesterday. Yeah. Oh my God.
Wearing an Astros jersey.
You gotta pick a lane. You got like the two teams hate each other.
You can't do that.
I mean, Astros Mariners. I suppose I shouldn't have been allowed to do that.
That's fine, but like
it's a half shirt. But I mean, I hope people know I was just messing around because I think regular season baseball is boring.
That's a bit for you. This person is yeah. making you know, like a real life choice to wear an Astros jersey with a Yankees hat.
Did you see the other person who wore an Astros jersey and he was allowing Yankee fans to autograph it?
Yeah, it was an authentic.
And he said like, "Yeah, I was doing this as a bit." It's like, well, backfire, bro.
Apparently, it's like one of those authentic like $350 World Series.
Oh, not even the Fanatics ones.
Yeah, apparently.
If it was the Fanatics ones, I was like, everyone would be
yeah.
fine with that.
But yeah, that's a weird one. So it was a weird opening day, and there's still so much to get to that happened in yesterday's game. Sending Mauricio Dubon home, him getting tagged out. We'll hit a little bit more on Jake Myers and John Singleton. Bottom of the order looked good, but not a lot of good. A lot of the concerns that you would have had going into the season all showed up at once. We are broadcasting live here at Rose Hill Beer Garden on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Broadcasting live from Rose Hill Beer Garden. Awesome place to come hang out, get some beer, some good drinks, plenty of food trucks to choose from as well, which I love because it's a nice little variety. So you're not locked into one kind of food item. It's family-friendly place, 8 local food trucks. They have live music every Thursday through Saturday. Voted the number one music venue in Cyprus. Plus, they're doing a nice little April promo that I like stuff like this.
What's this?
They're playing bingo.
Playing bingo. Bingo.
You get bingo by purchasing local draft beers, canned beers, or spirits. Each bingo is entered into a weekly raffle. I love stuff like this.
Ah.
There was this bar I went to in New Orleans once when I visited my cousin, and they had this long like tab. It was 100 beers, and it was like each time you had to like stamp each beer, and once you finished it, all you got was a T-shirt. But I was like trying to help my cousin get through as many of these beers in one weekend as I could. I was like, we're gonna try to achieve it. Didn't get close.
Oh, no.
I probably knocked out like 10 of them for her, but, you know.
There's a bar on campus at Syracuse where if you got every single one of the beers that they had on draft on this specific night that they had, they would put your plaque up on the wall.
Ooh.
So there's a couple of – and it wasn't a very big plaque, but I forget what it was. It was like Traveler's Night or something like that. So it was a fun, like – try to drink as many as you possibly can kind of deal.
Yeah, responsible.
But I remember I got to a certain point and there was one beer. I don't know if they're a sponsor, but I had it and it was legitimately the worst beer I've ever had.
Oh, really?
Have you ever had Purple Haze?
I have.
That was not for me.
That's not my cup of tea.
I'm very, 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 very like open to the majority of alcohol.
Yeah, but that wasn't your speed.
Right, I'm not a classy man. I'm a man of the people. This is the one beer, that and this beer called Red Dog. These are the only two beers I've ever turned my nose up at.
Interesting. 8693, Fromber's stuff is still there. In 22, he pitched confident. He no longer pitches confident. I agree with that.
How do we get him confident? Joe, you're a musical theater guy. Should we play him that song from The Sound of Music starring Julie Andrews? There's a song called I Have Confidence. Right?
I don't know if that'll help Fromber.
I have confidence in me. You know?
Yep.
How about that?
I don't think that's going to help Fromber.
Why not?
He needs
we have to do the on Espanol version of it?
I don't know what helps this guy. It's just because he still pitched good. Like, he got all those double plays. That's a positive. A positive from Fromber yesterday. That for the most part, early in the game, he got in some trouble, but he got out of it without any damage. So
sustainable, though. If you're getting in trouble all the time, I get it. He's a sinker ball pitcher, and when the sinker ball's on, he's going to get a lot of ground outs. But if you're getting into trouble a lot and your control is off, and maybe you are, you know, getting used to pitching with Yiner Diaz, well, what happens when this all starts to go to bleep? And to go back to our texter's point, it does feel like his confidence is easily shaken, and I don't know what you do on that front. I think you're either born with confidence or you're born pretending you have confidence, or you're born with just absolutely none. The Astros have plenty of mental health coaches. I know there was an article this offseason talking about the impact it's had on Jake Myers and some other players. I don't know what you do other than, like, do you hire like a gang of hype men for Fromber?
I just move on. That's what I think you do. I'll be honest. Like, that's why I'm not in the business. I'll have the Tucker conversation. I want to extend Tucker. I would love for them to extend Bregman. But I've never – it's not because of yesterday's game, but all these concerns about Fromber, I'm just not giving that guy $60 million over 3 years when people are asking about his mental toughness all the time. You're supposed to be a Cy Young leader of the team, and you're just – he's not.
Awesome. Some people are going to say, hey, guys, you're overreacting to just one game.
This has been my take since the offseason.
But I'm with you. You've been on this. I've been on this. I think when you take a look at just who he is, he can be consistent. Mm-hmm. We saw him consistent for an entire season. And yet, I wonder if the stretches of extreme consistency, something else was going on during that moment in time. Like I it's weird because last year it just felt like this was an issue a couple of times where he seemed to get into his own head. But I mean, he had the entirety of 2022. He was awesome in the postseason up to In 2022. In the postseason, until the World Series in 2021 against the Braves, he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So,
It's still there. And that's why you hope it's just one game and 25 straight quality starts from Rivaldo's is still going to show up and be there this season. 8736, just one game. So, way too early to know. But I'm not very impressed with the spot so far. Pinch hitting Singleton there, going with Presley that early. I mean, part of the Presley that early is the Abreu suspension. I'm kind of doubtful that we see Presley in the seventh inning very often going forward. But, you know, when they signed Hader, it brought you flexibility that if you wanted Brian Abreu to be the guy to face a Judge and Soto, whether that's the seventh or the eighth inning, you can move Presley and Abreu around. So we might need to be prepared for more Presley in the seventh.
Right now, it's because you don't have many options. I understand some people are looking at bringing in Presley in that spot and getting frustrated, but I think you should be trying to put your best arms out there when the game is still a game. You know, I don't think that you should lock somebody into a specific role where they can't be put elsewhere. I mean, maybe there's some games where you feel like, hey, I want to put in Josh Hader a little bit earlier than the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the great thing about having when Abreu gets back and Presley and Hader is that you have the options to throw these guys into situations that don't necessarily call for those guys traditionally. Right? Aren't we trying to get away from traditional old-school baseball? So I had no problem with Presley coming in that spot.
Same.
I mean, what? You want Seth Martinez? You want Rafael Montero? You want this Taylor guy?
Yeah, Taylor Scott.
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel like the Astros should look at using those guys in critical situations, even if it doesn't fall in the seventh and eighth or ninth inning, because sometimes these games get out of hand by then if you don't take care of it. But ultimately, it comes back to the starting pitching for this team needs to perform so that you're not taxing the bullpen. And this was obviously, like, the worst possible start considering the control issues not just from him but from all Astros pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Where now, okay, first game of a series against the Yankees, you just used, you know, two of your biggest arms in the bullpen, and on top of that, now you're expecting what, Christian Javier to go six innings?
Mm-hmm.
Something he almost never does. Good luck.
Good luck is a good way to put it. The other moment that I would say is getting the most attention is obviously Mauricio Dubon being sent home on that play. Now Juan Soto,
that was a hell of a throw.
It's a hell of a throw,
hell
man.
Of a throw.
Like, that's part of it where I don't have an issue with it.
I would have sent Dubon there, 100%.
Yes. They spent – I saw Chandler going back with someone about – you know, someone said they didn't like Dubon being sent, and he's like –
no, they're going to be more aggressive this year.
If you listen to Joe Espada at all this spring training, they talked about being more aggressive. That's what being more aggressive is. First of all, it's the first game of the season, so I'm good with the aggressiveness then, but I'm good with the aggressiveness in the World Series. Now, maybe if it's like –
it's more like
anyone,
Altuve being careless than super aggressiveness. That's my issue.
Maybe if it's anyone but Juan Soto, I go on that moment. Like,
yeah.
Maybe Juan Soto's the one guy you don't run on in that moment because he's just got an absolute cannon. But I have zero issue with Dubon being sent home on that play. I mean, like, he was centimeters away from being safe.
Did you – yes or no? Safe?
No, he's out. I think he's out. It was – the camera angles, it looked – I'm not going to argue.
I think it was inconclusive either way. I'm going to walk the fence on this one.
I'm good with that.
This is, and baseball cheaps out, but this is another reason to have more cameras. I mean, if you watch the replay that they showed from the first baseline where they're slowly zooming in, because of the slow zoom, obviously with the runner going around third to home plate, it's going to be difficult for any camera person to zoom in on that one so that you can actually see here. I just don't think it ever was going to be possible for anyone outside of the umpire who was right there to have a true feel for what happened. But, I mean, you should, I would think, every single ballpark in major leagues, they should have a camera that is focused entirely on home plate. And I believe we have the technology now to put something on a hanging wire above the cage where you would actually be able to see if somebody is safe or not, and zoom in a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
The camera angles that were available for replay, to me, were not enough. And if you want to make replay a part of the game, I think you got to have the best technology possible.
Always.
I truly do not know what happened on that play. I watched 100%. It a bunch of times. I could not tell. And I'm not going to, you know, put on the Homer glasses that some, like our favorite, Ben DeBose, the crusader against referees everywhere.
Now that I think about it, I think he
believes that it was clearly safe. I don't think anything was clear about it on the replay. I know a lot of people are going to push back on me on that. I watched it a million times. I think it was super, super close. Some replays I thought he was safe. Some replays
that's
I thought he
I
was out. There's got to be more cameras then.
Yeah,
and that's a baseball problem.
Yeah, if it's that, you know, close and like you said, I'm with you. That call is just it's staying no matter what the original call is. If he's called safe, he's safe. If he's called out, he's out. I don't like that. That's not the point of replay.
Yeah.
Replay is to get the correct call. That's what it's. You know, that first weekend of March Madness, there's the block. I can't remember what game that was in, but it was so clearly not a foul, and there's nothing you can do about it and fix it. This is kind of the same thing. You should be able to get a definitive answer on these plays. So my frustration, like you, is more with the Major League Baseball, the umps, the ability to get the call correct, way more than Dubon being sent aggressively in that moment.
We got a couple of texts, one from the 713, one from the 682. They both are arguing that umpires should perhaps wear cameras. That would be pretty funny if all of a sudden umpires are wearing body cams. I mean, Sean and I, when we were doing the Paul Gallant show back in the day, we would joke all the time about like how we back the blue. It's a really tough job.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to make split seconds decisions all the time.
Well, here's the thing, Paul. They do that.
I don't know if
ESPN they've done that.
They do. You're right.
They put you in the batter's box.
Do you think the umpire camera though would work? Because the problem is it's hanging from the person's either shirt or it's from his helmet, and it's going to be bouncing around a little bit. You can't focus specifically on the home plate on where the runner is. So it's a good idea. I'm not saying any idea is better than what they currently have, but that's also going to cost money. And if we've learned anything from baseball, it's that owners are cheap in this sport more than the other ones.
Yeah. I mean, it's – and the one they use during the postseason special games, too, that's on the helmet. So even in this moment, you know, he's taking his mask off. So it's not like you have – that camera goes away when he does that. So even though, yes, they use that technology a little bit.
Yeah.
I just – there's got to be – it's just sports. There's always a better answer. It's like in the NFL – when they don't use the pylon cam, and they're trying to figure out if it crossed the into the end zone. It's like, dude, just put a camera in the pylon.
You know,
do it sometimes.
What's funny is all these leagues somehow have found a way to be monopolies on these sports and somehow also evade taxes and stuff because of that. There are loopholes. And ironically, the sport is at its best when these sports, which want to have these monopolies, have even a smidgen of competition. Just think about in the NFL, the amount of good ideas that have been incorporated into the league by both versions of the XFL. The original version with so many different ways just to watch the game on television. The most recent, obviously we're changing the kickoff and doing exactly what the old XFL used to do. And I get that the minor leagues, they implement things like this from time to time, but I feel like if the majors had something else that they were looking at, is it Korean baseball, is it Japanese baseball? I don't know if they do stuff like this. Obviously, in Japanese and Korean baseball, the foul lines are a little bit more safe, so people aren't getting lined in the face by a baseball that's screaming at them 100 miles per hour. I wonder if there would be perhaps better solutions to fix stuff like this if there were actual competition for it.
Yeah, if there's, and they just, like you said, if they weren't
not
cheap.
Not serious competition, but yeah, you're right, exactly. They are cheap, that's the thing. And sometimes all it takes is like to see, oh, this actually works. Okay, well, maybe I will spend a little extra money on this.
Yeah, it's crazy to me that when we were in Sugar Land last year, we were in the ESPN 97.5 night, and they had the they were doing the challenge on balls and strikes in the minors. And it was so fast. I was like, I love this. I thought it was coming right to the majors, and they didn't even consider it this offseason. Reminder, tonight, Christian Javier, Carlos Rodon, 7:10 first pitch. Bitched about Apple TV yesterday. It's on Apple TV tonight. So
you excited for the Apple TV broadcast?
I'm not paying $10, so I'll be listening on the radio, I guess.
Well, at least it's
not. Or an illegal stream.
The Apple TV broadcast for soccer was so dumb, because when the Dynamo are in the playoffs, they showed the first game that the Dynamo played on Apple TV, but the second game you had to pay $15.99.
That's tough.
So that you could have the subscription. I was like, "What? Well, I'm already paying for Apple TV." And I am paying for Apple TV. It's a subscription I forgot to cancel. I don't even know why I have it. I think I watched that spin-off of Godzilla and King Kong Monarch. I watched that. It was okay.
It was all right.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to see I might see. Would you be upset if I saw the new Godzilla before I saw Dune 2?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And which new Godzilla are we talking about? The one in Japan?
No, there's another one. Is it coming out like this week or in a couple weeks?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's another Godzilla Kong movie coming out.
Yeah, I mean, those movies are actually pretty good. So, I will never movie shame you. I'm just going to say, it's going to be hard for me to make these references if you're not watching it.
I'll do my best.
If I'm doing it, I'm teasing. It's in good fun.
Yeah, I'll do my best. Okay. But I also have to produce the Space Cowboys game this weekend. So
I mean, you're saying that like it's a bad thing. We might see Justin Verlander out there. I'm just
team player. Team player over here. All right. Another. We'll take your reactions on this game because there's obviously so much to get into. So 713-780-3776. But also the Texans. Open up some more caps.
About to spend?
Big move coming. We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress.
Astros in action tonight. Cougs in action tonight. Rockets going for their 11th straight win. We've got a golf tournament going on here in Houston. Man.
A lot going on right now. I got to figure out what the television setup will be. I think that I'm going to be going with some ESPN 97.5 listeners to a bar after today. Fred Fowler's memorial services happening for him. So that's my plan, is to head down to Webster. So that'll be fun.
Nice.
All these games that are on at the same time.
Yeah, this is the tough one at home tonight. I'm trying to think. I'm going to go big TV, Astros.
The third TV is the tricky thing because you actually are going to need to have three on at some point tonight, I would imagine. Like right when the Cougs tip off,
yeah.
And in the middle of the Astros and in the middle of the Rockets game.
Yeah, I'll probably go big TV, Astros.
Ooh, more of a baseball guy. I feel like, I think the Astros.
I only have one TV. That's the problem.
Gotcha.
So on the computer, I'll probably go Cougs.
And then on your phone, you're going to put one?
Probably go Rockets on my phone.
Oh, no, you can't. So listen. Astros, they're in timeout.
Oh, I don't have Apple TV, so
you're not even going to watch them.
So I'll have.
I like that.
Yeah,
I wonder if the bar that we go to is even going to have Apple TV.
That's a good question.
But the Astros, if I had to pick between the three after yesterday's performance, yes, only one game, they're in timeout. Rockets have won 10 in a row. Cougs are the best team in college basketball other than UConn.
They look good last
night. Oh, yeah, you got scary, man. Dan Hurley's doing all this bitching and moaning, and it's like, dude, you're beating teams by 70 points. Relax, man.
Like San Diego State, they beat by 30.
And that's a great program, historically.
Bama took down North Carolina yesterday. Clemson took down Arizona. Illinois over Iowa State.
Clemson advancing drives me crazy. Sean witnessed this once where I was in Vegas. Syracuse was playing Clemson, and Syracuse had a lead. And there's this guy just talking mad bleep, saying, well, it's a basketball school, it's a basketball school, talking about Syracuse. And then all of a sudden, Clemson comes back and wins. And he was right all along. Sean got a video of me basically falling to my knees as the quarterback for Syracuse threw a game-clinching interception. And now Clemson is a better basketball than Syracuse. And they are using a guy that nobody that was a Syracuse fan wanted on their team named Joe Girard. He's their point guard. And, yeah, they're in the effing Elite Eight right now.
It's crazy.
Kill me with a shovel. This
crazy.
Is awful. Just hit me right square in the face. My basketball school, not even a basketball school anymore. Not even a lacrosse school. I don't even know what we are. We're a men's soccer school.
Here's a school.
Yeah, in a godforsaken wasteland where it snows all year, and you might get stabbed if you walk off campus.
And don't worry, you'll get some snobby media members out of Syracuse. Still, you're not one of the snobby.
No, I mean I am pretty snobby.
No, you're okay.
I'm pretty snobby.
You're okay.
I'll at least admit it though.
No, there's more snobbier out there. Some of them have long flowing hair and are on television right now.
I like Nick. I like Nick, even though he unfollowed me on Twitter.
Oh, that's harsh.
That hurt my feelings.
That's all right. Brad Keldner unfollowed me on Twitter. So
he did?
Yeah.
Why?
It's rude, man.
Oh, damn.
His Texas Sports Unfiltered still follows me, but BK gave me the unfollow.
Damn.
The disrespect.
Why don't you call him right now?
No, I'm okay. Or just call him on the air and see how it goes.
Hey, why'd you unfollow me? What's going on,
it's the most insecure thing anybody in radio could do, but guess what? We're all insecure.
Hey, Brad, why'd you unfollow me on Twitter? Please follow back. Thanks.
So the Texans cleared a bunch of cap space again, restructured Titus Howard's contract today. Something I thought they might do this offseason. If they were looking at, you know, trying to move space with Titus and Tunsil, you could clear cap space that way. They haven't done Tunsil yet, but they've done Shaq Mason and Titus Howard, cleared $16 million in cap space. Sure feels like Nick Caserio's got something cooking.
Yes, it does. What he's cooking is the question. If he's cooking at all, also a great question. You would think that these moves mean something else is about to happen. But at the same time, who's left to bring in? The guy that the Texans supposedly wanted and drew a hard line at is Saquon Barkley, mm-hmm. who recently said on a podcast that the Texans were his first choice.
That surprised me a little bit.
So they make this move now. They already, strangely, but I guess consistent because they did this with Shaq Mason, gave Joe Mixon an extension before he even played a down for the Texans. Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't agree with the move, but this is just what they do. Okay, fine. But it is interesting to see this move take place, and it does really make you wonder if there is something up their sleeve. Nothing up their sleeve that I see right now would likely involve the names who are left available in free agency, you'd think, right?
No, I don't think you need to clear this much cap space to get Quandre Diggs, Justin Simmons, Eddie Jackson, any of those guys. None of those moves are going to cost you, you know, $16 million, even Steven Nelson and a safety. So that's where I think it really would be multiple moves, a safety and a corner, a corner and a left guard, something like that, or maybe it's a trade. Maybe it's just a Nico Collins contract extension. That's what I was thinking, too. Was maybe, I don't know if they needed to clear the cap space now for that with Nico, but I wonder if that could be something that they're thinking about as well, is, hey, we are going to get this deal done with Nico.
That makes the most sense.
I think
and
so, too.
I think that is something they should do, given the year that he just had, because I do think he's special as far as wide receivers go. I think his ability to stretch the field, despite his size, is pretty impressive. I mean, if you're throwing a ball deep downfield, you want to be throwing it to a guy who's 6'3", 6'4", who's got that kind of speed, because he's going to have an advantage on the majority of cornerbacks in battles like that. But on top of that, I think his ability to run after the catch is close to the top in the NFL. Mm-hmm. We're talking Deebo Samuel with his ability to run, and except for he's a bigger guy. He runs like a tight end out there. I think a guy like that is somebody that you lock up before he gets more expensive to lock up. Receivers are expensive these days. Clearing up cap space for a receiver makes a lot of sense. I'm sure Tom Brady wishes that had happened to him during the last couple of years that he had in New England. So if that's the move that happens, I will be happy with it.
Same.
My question, Joe, is if Texans fans who are looking for that big move to happen, if they'll be happy with it.
No, because they are going to be...
They're like, why didn't you get T. Higgins, too?
100%.
I watch Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. So do we all!
Think back.
We all do. It's not realistic.
Day one of free agency. Texans aren't doing anything. Everyone's freaking out. I have a mental breakdown. And then day two, the Texans all of a sudden win free agency within like 20 minutes. They end up getting a running back. They get Daniil Hunter later in free agency. So there could still be one big move left, but I just wonder if they're not just going to pay him, and I'd be plenty fine. And this is more about small moves in the interim to fix some of your other depth, but there's something coming. That I'm confident. You don't just clear this cap space for nothing, right?
Like, right.
It seems like they cleared the Shaq Mason cap space with the intent of taking on Keenan Allen's contract from the Chargers, and then the Chargers just traded him to the Bears instead of the Texans. So it felt like there was a reason for that. And then when the trade didn't happen, it took them a week or so to actually process his restructure. That really just officially happened within the last 72 hours. So now you've got another move this quickly. There's definitely something else happening, maybe quickly,
right,
with the Houston Texans. I can't wait to see what it is. The Rockets said they go for their 11th straight win when they go take on the Utah Jazz.
F Utah.
Yeah, we all hate the Utah Jazz.
I love that everyone in the NBA hates the Utah Jazz. Like, any city.
What's good about it?
Well, hey, Jazz, the nickname Utah Jazz is the most fun thing in Utah.
Yeah, because they can't, makes so much sense.
They can't do the drinky-drinky. They can't do the sexy-wexy.
But they can be super racist if they like.
That is true. They also can't have the caffeine.
It's true. So multiple wives, though.
Not on the books. You can't do that on the books.
All right, we're broadcasting live here from Rose Hill Beer Garden. We're talking Texans, Astros, Rockets, Cougs. There's so much going on in Houston sports here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress.
Broadcasting live from Rose Hill Beer Garden, number one music venue here in Cypress. Live music every Thursday through Saturday. Local craft vendors here as well, including a barber on site. So if you ever need to get a beer and a cut, this is your place to go. That's actually a great deal. They're doing an April promo right now. It's called the April Ale Hunt. You get a bingo by purchasing local draft beer, canned beer, or spirits. Each bingo is entered into a weekly raffle. Eddie Jackson, former NFL player, Food Network star, the owner of this place. He's got his food truck here as well, so probably going to crush a burger myself.
Hell yeah,
here
dude.
At some point. People filling in. Nice little Friday.
Yeah, this weather's perfect.
Yeah, this is really the best day ever to do this.
Breezy, 72 degrees, inside, outside. It's a big outdoor area out back, nice shade, trees. It's even a playground for kids if you want to bring your kids here. So it's a good spot, man. I like it.
Yeah, it's one of the things that Eddie, you know, what they said when we were talking to Chelsea was that this is a family-friendly place. And, like, they built it that way on purpose so you can enjoy it. But you can also, you know, bring your kids and stuff like that. When we got here, there was a bunch of kids playing around and having a good time. So it's a cool place to come, hang out, drink some beer, bring your family as well, and enjoy some good food as well. The Rockets tonight play the Utah Jazz, going for their 11th straight win. Jazz, one of the Rockets are the last team alive that are available for the play-in tournament that are not currently in the Western Conference. The Jazz are one of the teams that's eliminated. Lauri Markkanen, he's TBD tonight. I don't think he's going to play, but you never know in the NBA.
Right.
So Rockets going for their 11th straight win, game back of the Warriors. How are we feeling? Feeling good still?
Yeah, I still feel very good. I want to fast forward to next week, April 4th specifically.
Yeah.
I will be going to that game at Toyota Center. Hopefully I don't get rejected by security. but this is one of those games where you look at it the same way that you looked at the Trailblazers earlier in the week. You should win it. But you can't take them lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And there were moments during that game on Monday against the Blazers, which I went to at Toyota Center, where it felt like it just wasn't the Rockets' night because they couldn't hit a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you had Dylan Brooks, you had Jalen Green, and Fred VanVleet start off 3-for-21. But it also was one of those things where I remember I was courtside right before the game watching them all shoot warm-up shots right next to Vanessa. And after I said hi to Vanessa, I was just focusing on the shots, and everyone was bricking. And I was thinking to myself, oh, man, maybe this is going to be one of their nights where they just don't hit a damn shot, and they didn't hit a damn shot for a while. So sometimes your shot just doesn't fall, and let's be honest, this Rockets team is not the greatest shooting team, even though they optimally, I think, would like to be a really good shooting team. It definitely would play well off of the fast pace that they're trying to play. But I feel good about tonight's game. I think it should be 11 in a row for the Rockets.
It should be. And this is just another one of those moments, too, where you hope with the young team that's on a win streak that the positive vibes, I think is the way I'll put it right now, because I don't think it's ego or cockiness that we're hearing from, like, Jalen Green. I like that he's
a little bit.
A little bit, but it's not to the extreme. Cause
it's
he's still,
confidence, not cockiness.
Yeah, because he's so – maybe it's just because he's so, like, mild-mannered. When he says that they're going to win their 10th straight.
Soft-spoken, specifically. Yeah. He's like, yeah, we're going to make it to the play-in tournament. Yeah, Warriors should be watching us.
Yeah, it's
like,
so,
oh, all right.
He's just not brash, so it's hard to think it's like massive cockiness and ego that we have from Jalen Green. So I still love it, but it's one of those moments that when you're a young team, you know, you don't want to take this team lightly. You don't want to be the Phoenix Suns yes, they beat the Nuggets last night, but they lost to the Spurs the other day and got embarrassed.
That's why I think it's good that they played the Blazers the way that they did in the first half.
as recently as Monday. And obviously the final score of that game, the Rockets really pulled away from that one, starting in the third where Jalen Green got hot. And in the fourth, they went even further. I think that's a nice little reminder to have. It's got to be tough when you're in the midst of a winning streak to avoid super confidence.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be.
Because, I mean, this is the best winning streak in basketball right now. And on top of that, it's being done by a team that everyone – so they've only been able to drink for a little bit for the most part. So, yep, you hope that they just continue to take things seriously, and I think that they will. One of the bright spots about playing in Utah, as we kind of talked about going into the break, there's nothing to do except for potentially get food poisoning like Michael Jordan did from that one pizza spot.
Yeah,
allegedly. You don't buy that one?
I kind of waver on that one.
So if you don't know, in the Last Dance Jordan documentary, there are allegations that a Utah pizzeria may have made Michael Jordan have his flu game because they gave him a little something in the pizza.
Yeah, my concerns with that conspiracy theory is that they didn't tell people which rooms Jordan was staying in specifically, that they would hide the players' names. So that, in theory, means that this pizza place knew what hotel the Bulls were staying at. And the only way to effectively poison Michael Jordan was to poison every pizza you brought to that hotel for the night. And he's the only player on the Bulls.
Hotel people know stuff.
Like,
there's somebody who knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Michael would be the one to eat in a room by himself and just crush a pizza. Apparently, Joel Blank ate like, a large pizza the other day at Knicks place by himself.
The whole thing. Did he get heartburn?
I guess not.
Shout out to Joel Blank's digestive system. That is impressive. I can't do a whole pizza anymore. And I mean, if I even have like four slices of pizza, I'm ripping off the cheese on half of it.
Yeah, it's true. You are not a cheese guy, so.
Pizza's the only thing I can do it on, but I like the extra sauce.
Yeah.
And I like the light flu, because I don't want to get flu.
Yeah, I don't want to miss a game either.
Everyone hates Utah. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, Utah, it's the worst.
Have you ever been? I want to go skiing there someday, Park City.
It is. I've been once, but it was more of a stop-through.
Stop-through, okay.
It was like we had a layover flight in Utah in Salt Lake, I guess it was. But then the next flight got canceled. So we ended up staying in Utah just for a night. So we didn't do much.
Okay.
Also, I think at the time I was not. I think I would have been just under 21. Not that there's much to really do there when you're 21. So it didn't really matter. So I didn't get the full experience. One of my wife's best friends lives there.
Okay.
She loves Salt Lake because her sister was in the Olympics, so they moved out there to do.
Sick flex.
She did the big ramp.
Oh, for skiing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you jump like really, really,
those,
really far.
Those people are effing insane.
That seems like one of the most terrifying things you could possibly do.
When I went skiing in Vermont a couple of weeks ago with some of my buddies, I try to go once a year, and I'm not an expert skier, but at least I look competent when I'm out there. But one of my buddies was just being this absolute bastard on the slopes, and he's like skiing really close to people and going in and out. And he's 34 years old, like me, and there's a part of me that was low-key satisfied when at one point he hurt himself.
Yeah.
But then he was limping, so he was limping around, and he was trying to get sympathy points from all of us. And we were like, okay, well, we feel bad for him. But then when we got back out on the slopes, he was still doing the same exact thing where he was skiing so close to people.
Yeah,
being
so
a bastard on
that's
the
your fault.
But then he would walk around like, oh, I'm not feeling so good, dog.
Wimp.
No, it wasn't even a wimp. It was
like a wimp.
Pick your lane. Either you're the biggest hardo skier ever, or you're
hurt.
Or you've torn your ACL. Like, pick a lane. You can't be both.
All right, we'll get back to the Astros. 0-1 on the season. The sky is falling. 0-1, 62 pace. But Jake Meyer's on pace for 162 home runs. So which one's better, 162 home runs or 162 losses? You tell me. That's next year on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.